Welcome to another episode of Indie Darlings Podcast, the podcast where we discuss indie darlings. Today we have the wonderful yellow comedian, Kate Raft.
Hi.
Hey, Kate.
I invented yellow.
She did. That's what her hat says. And okay, so Kate, you chose the film Cannibal the Musical. Did I say it right?
Cannibal the Musical. That's it.
I keep going Cannonball the Musical, and I don't know what that's about.
It's easy to remember because there's no cannonballs in the movie, and it is about a cannibal.
Yes.
So that's how you remember. That's my little trick.
Yes. It's a weird thing I'm doing. Anyway.
It's because it's hard to be alive.
It really is. It really is. I also have a weird thing where I'll say Capri Sun wrong. I'll call it Capri Sun.
Oh, I like that. That's an improvement.
In my mind, it sounds easier. I don't know what that's about.
Maybe you hate capri pants and you've like...
That's... If you went to high school with me, you will know that's not true. My ankles got so much lotion. So.
Do you ever have a capri pant tan? Or like...
Not
like
that,
a,
not
like
that
an
extreme.
Opposite sock tan?
No. I didn't have a capri pant tan, but my ankles were chilly most days. Okay, so Cannibal the Musical, 1993, directed and written by and starring Trey Parker,
yes,
of South Park fame.
An icon.
At this point, yeah. Kate, why did you choose this movie?
I had to pick a couple different categories. You had said either a 90s indie or, you know, whatever the other categories.
LGBT.
Are. LGBTQ and game changers.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just, it took me a long time because I was like, I don't know. Like, I feel like I have dumb taste, like bad, dumb taste in everything in my life. And I was like, couldn't think of any like impressive or cool indie movies I've seen.
I never said it had to be impressive or
no,
cool.
No, but like I obviously am always trying to be as impressive and as cool as possible.
You usually are.
I mean, it's not for lack of effort. So I was like, fuck, like, I can't think of anything good. And then I also thought we were recording this a month ago, so I thought I only had like 2 days to come up with it.
Uh-huh.
And then like at the last second, I was like, oh yes, like Cannibal, like... That's a 90s indie movie, and like I've seen it like 10 times, and I love it. So, yeah, and I love musicals.
That's right. You do love musicals.
So, like, it's great. It's like, you know, it was like one of those movies I saw as like a young teen where I was like, I want to do a horrible low-budget musical one day. Mm-hmm. Like, I just liked it, and it was, it's kind of cool to watch it and like having seen like South Park for many, many seasons and like seeing like just the little roots of like what would eventually grow into like Cartman and Kyle and like.
Yeah. Even the writing style, I feel like the joke style is very much South Park.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely like Trey Parker just has a voice and like mm-hmm. it comes through in everything he does. And like, I like that. I think it's good. It's just a weird fucking kind of like the movie. It has no continuity. Like it, but it knows that it's like funny. Like it's just
it's extremely self-aware.
Yeah, it's extremely self-aware, and it's like funny.
And the songs in it are like really good.
Yeah, Trey Parker's like a musical genius.
Yeah, like okay, so people that don't know. Matt Stone and Trey Parker, they went to college together in Colorado. And Trey actually studied music.
Yeah, like music theory or something, right?
Yeah, and musical, I believe theater too. And so this was supposed to be mimicking Oklahoma.
Yeah, it says in like the beginning slide of the movie
mm-hmm.
that this was like filmed in 1954,
uh-huh.
and I wish I could read it exactly.
Oh, I should have written it down.
But there's a slide in the beginning that's like, this film was like made in 1954, but it was eclipsed by Oklahoma,
uh-huh.
And no one ever like appreciated it. But like, we've restored it to mm-hmm. and like added color and like, please enjoy. And then it's just like this obviously 90s movie.
Yeah, but they also in the very beginning they take. They do try to make it look like it's one of those films that was digitally restored, which I think is very funny. Yeah, I actually wrote down the concept of it being fully restored is funny. For people that don't know, this movie is about Alfred Packer, who is a real person during the 1800s in Colorado. Who he's famous because he was a trapper, not a trapper, no.
Miner.
He was a miner who was traveling with another group of miners and later got accused of cannibalism.
Yeah.
This was actually supposed to be called Alfred Packer, the musical, I believe.
Yeah.
But then someone told Trey Parker, no one outside of Colorado is going to know who you're talking about.
The trauma guy, what's his name? The distributor for the movie was like mm-hmm. Troma.
Yeah.
I only know this because it literally played. So I torrented the movie
mm-hmm.
And it played at the end of my torrent was like some DVD special that got wow. left on. And it was the head of Troma Pictures being like, welcome to the DVD release of like this movie. Like it was originally called Alfred Packer, but I told them they couldn't do that.
Wow. So this movie
also Trey Parker is pro torrenting his projects. So for the
is
record,
he really?
Yeah, he's like gone on the record and said like, please like illegally download South Park. I don't give a fuck.
Wow, that's so funny.
Yeah,
yeah. I watched this on YouTube. So
I think they don't care. Like they're not like trying to take things down from YouTube.
Mm-hmm. That's I mean, well, I don't know why they would. This is amazing. It's legitimately good.
It's so good.
So this movie starts off with a very violent opening with him. You see a bunch of old-timey miners getting attacked by Alfred Packer, who's played by Trey Parker. And I remember when I saw this years ago, this almost turned me off because the violence was so intense. There's a part where he rips someone's tongue out.
Yeah, it's violent.
It's extremely violent, and
I love that about it.
But what's funny is the rest of the movie is not like that at all.
No, it's like there's only a couple scenes, but they're like gross, like cartoonishly gross violence, mm-hmm.
like biting a foot or something.
Yeah,
like
that. So there's a scene where they're eating each other, they're eating like one of the dead miners,
mm-hmm.
and like Matt Stone is just like chowing down on a foot.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's yeah. like then he wakes up the next morning. He's like, I'm hungry for yeah. breakfast. Yes. Like, is there anymore?
Okay, so it cuts to a trial. Cuts to the trial of Alfred Packer in Lake City, Colorado, 1883. And a reporter is interviewing him in jail. Fun fact, I don't know if you remember this, but did you notice he's building doll furniture while he's in jail?
Yeah, why is he doing that?
Okay, so according to the DVD commentary, it's because the real Alfred Packer was building doll furniture while waiting in jail.
Oh, wow, cool. Weird, weird as fuck.
I thought it was some weird little joke.
I was like trying to figure out what the deal with that was, but like,
yeah, because he's clearly putting like a tiny house together.
Yeah, he's putting a tiny house together like for all of these like scenes that they cut throughout the movie.
Uh-huh.
And like it never pays off.
No,
like,
no, they never acknowledge it. And I was just like, well, that was just a weird little like eccentricity. But it's because they went through so much trouble to make this story as accurate as possible. The courthouse where the court case is taking place, that's the actual courthouse.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah. And I'm just like, wow. I had no way of knowing that.
I mean, it's also funny because like no one knows this story.
No,
like,
no
the
one knows
accuracy
it.
Like doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But that's also part of why the movie is so good. Like it's so specific. Like mm-hmm. it doesn't have a great plot. Like it's clearly like they did just take this real story and like act weird while making it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun.
But they also like formatted it to be like Oklahoma, which I'm not familiar with. But
I'm actually not either. I've never seen it.
That's shocking because you love.
I love musicals. I know. I'm not like a fan of old musicals. Like,
so just
not like. Oh, like I don't know about,
like Rodgers and Hammerstein and stuff.
Like I don't know those ones, the OG ones.
Mm.
Like Legally Blonde the musical. Damn, I'm all about it.
Oh, okay. So you like very specific musicals.
I told you like I have bad taste in all culture. Like I don't have impressive artistic taste.
I mean, you know what? You like what you like.
I like what I like. Hey, you know what I do like? I love Book of Mormon.
That's a legit. I saw Book of Mormon. It was,
it's so good.
And I listened to the soundtrack before I saw it, and I still was blown away.
So here's a bit of a brag. But when I was in college, I was this is dorky, but I was a South Park fan, like subscribed to like South Park fan like emails or something. Like,
okay,
I was like in the South Park fandom world.
Okay,
and I got an email being like, sign up like at this time for like tickets to the previews of Book of Mormon. So I was in the first audience ever of Book of Mormon.
Wow.
In the back row, like I was touching the back wall of the theater, but like I saw like the original cast, like the first time they'd ever performed it for like a paying audience.
Wow.
It was great. It was wonderful.
That
they had to do the opening number twice because like tech messed up. It was like so cool. It was awesome.
Did you get to meet Matt Stone and Drake Parker?
I definitely waited at the stage door for a long time. Like, I was, like, that annoying girl that, like, mm-hmm. loved South Park. Like,
no, that's beautiful.
And so I was, like, crying. I was like, this is so good. Like,
it's really good.
But, like, I just am just a fan of these people. I know, like, South Park has had its, like, dark days. And, mm-hmm. like, obviously looking back at a lot of South Park now, you're, like, cringing because it's, like, oh, shit, they, like, had some really bad takes, but overall, like, I do think Trey Parker is like a creative genius. Mm-hmm. And like, I haven't watched South Park in many seasons, but mm-hmm. I do think Cannibal the Musical holds up.
I agree. Okay, so it starts with the first musical number, Spadoinkle
Day. The sky is blue and all the leaves are green. My heart's as full as a baked potato. I think I know precisely what I mean when I say it's a spadoinkle day. When I say it's a spadoinkle dee doinkle dee doinkle
dee day. You're such a good singer.
I really just wanted to sing that song on this podcast.
Isn't it wonderful?
It's such a good song. It's so catchy. And here's a fun fact. If you watch South Park, mm-hmm. it's the jingle for their production company at the end. So if you see, so the South Park episode, well, they'll play the credits and then they go,
Oh my God. How did I not notice that?
I don't know. I'm just like a nerd about it. That's how, I don't know.
Wow. I do recall hearing that.
I noticed it one day and I could never unhear it.
That's incredible. That is incredible.
I can't even remember what the production company is called, but that's like the jingle for it.
That's so incredible. And okay, so this song is like the opening number. It sets the tone. It introduces the character of Alfred Packer as like this cheerful,
yeah, like happy-go-lucky guy. He loves his horse. He's like galloping on his horse in the meadow.
Uh-huh. So a thing that they really hammer home in this musical is that he loves his horse, Leanne.
He loves Leanne. And apparently, I guess you probably know this better than I do because I didn't listen to the commentary recently, but isn't Leanne like Trey's actual real-life ex-girlfriend?
Yeah, so Trey was engaged while in college to a girl named Leanne. And
she like left him for someone?
Well, she cheated on him a month before the wedding.
Oh my God. Wait, he was engaged in college? Mm-hmm. What a loser.
I know. Yeah. Because even he was like, I was engaged at 22, which sounds crazy now.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, like wedding date set.
Oh my God.
Plane tickets bought. Leanne. She cheated, and he basically made this movie to show her that he was doing stuff.
Wow. I think that's great.
Yeah.
That's inspirational.
I mean, look at Facebook.
Yeah.
According to the movie, he made it to Spider-Girl. And that's beautiful.
The opening number is also so good because it's like a classic musical theater opening. Like, mm-hmm. it's like just this like world setting song, and like, I don't know.
It's so well done.
Yeah. And he is like a classical musical theater, like, mm-hmm. like nerd, like Trey yeah. Parker, like definitely more than I am. Like, no, like was obsessed with like Rodgers and Hammerstein and like,
oh,
all
they
of
go
those.
Full-blown musical nerd. There's a scene where the trappers are, this is
such a good, I know.
Yeah, the trappers are singing, so, and then good. They argue about who was flat.
They have a full-on musical music theory argument where,
yes,
not just the two, like every character chimes in and is like, I think, are you doing like, mixed,
is it
mixed scales?
Well, isn't like, E flat the same as B minor? And I was just like, holy shit.
It's so good. Like, I think that was the scene where I was like watching it as like a teenager, like 14, being like, oh, like this is like amazing. I don't know. It's cool. It's funny.
I studied music, like not as a major, of course, but like I was in marching band. I know how to read music.
What'd you play?
Guess.
Trombone.
I kind of love
you
that.
You seem like a boner.
I am a boner, but I played flute.
Oh, so sexy.
Really?
A little sexy little
I
flute.
Thought that was so boring. I always wish that I was a woodwind, but whatever.
I wonder what instrument I would have played in the band. I would have probably been a flag girl if I was in the marching band.
What's a flag girl?
Flag girl.
Oh, flag girl.
Color guard.
Oh, I could see you as color guard.
Yeah. I always thought the color guard girls were cool. They were like all queer at my school, and they would like always like make out, and like they would be like so cool.
Wow, your school was cool.
My school was cool.
Moving on for Cannibal. Okay, so it cuts to the scene of miners in Utah.
And they're Utah territory.
Yeah, they're in Utah territory, and they're trying to find a guide to take them to Colorado. And Alfred Packer accidentally gets volunteered. So five travelers are setting off to Colorado to what's supposed to be a 3-week journey.
Yeah.
And the thing is, only Alfred Packer has a horse. The rest of them don't. And
they're going on foot.
They're going on foot into go to Colorado. And at some point, I think they're going to cross the Rockies. And this is all uncharted territory. And it's also like in the middle of winter.
Yeah.
And they're eager.
It's an ill-advised trip.
Yeah. Everything about it sounds like a bad idea.
But then they get people on board, mm-hmm. and they have this great like song where they introduce all the like characters that are in his like group. And they're all like singing about what they want, right?
Oh, that's all I'm asking for.
That's all I'm asking for.
That's all I'm asking for.
That's all I'm asking for. And it's like one guy wants to build a church with all the money he makes from mm-hmm. mining gold. One wants to fuck a lady.
Yeah. Well, he's the one that starts the song.
Oh,
all
yeah.
he wants is a girl.
That actor is so funny.
He was in
Dean Bahar or whatever.
Yeah, he was in a couple of the other movies.
He was in Basketball.
Orgasmo.
He used to be like, I don't know what happened to him, but I always thought he was like really funny. And then stopped like working with him or something. I guess they didn't make anything live action for years. So they probably just like.
Yeah.
We're like, we don't need this actor anymore. Sad. Justice for him.
He was really good, though.
He's great. He's so funny.
Everyone in this is doing kind of a great job.
Everyone is, well, like the main cast is all really good.
Mm-hmm.
And then like the other cast is kind of like a mixed bag, like aside from like the main group,
mm-hmm.
like some of the people didn't like got like completely dubbed over by Trey and Matt because
mm-hmm.
they like didn't like how they delivered their lines and stuff.
Or they have like what would turn out to be later a South Park voice.
Yeah, which is them being dubbed over by Trey and Matt.
Okay, so the characters are introduced, and there's two Mormons in there. One of them wants to build a church, and one of them is excessively cheerful.
Yeah.
Throughout, which is very funny.
He's just like super, super happy.
I think his name's Swan.
Okay.
They keep putting people in timeout for being grumps, which is
so funny.
Here's the thing with South Park, Matt Stone and Trey Parker, like all their stuff has this really intense level of joy in it.
Yeah, it does.
That's like contagious.
I think that Trey Parker's just like a happy guy.
You think so?
I follow his like girlfriend or wife. I think it's on his Instagram? Wife. I follow her on Instagram.
South Parkers?
She's the South Parkers. And she just posts.
I just started following them.
She's such a good follow because like Trey Parker's obviously never been on social media. Like mm-hmm. that's not his thing. Mm-hmm. But she is just like this like hot mom who's just like always posting like happy videos of them with their like cute little baby and they like on their like rich people vacations and like it's just like they just seem like super chill and happy. I think he just like smokes a lot of weed. Although I heard that shows kind of sucks to work for, so maybe he's
South Park.
Maybe he's mean. I don't know. Yeah,
I could see it being so stressful because within a week.
Yeah,
he's one of those people that I assume is a dick.
I mean.
Just based on,
I don't know,
like
yeah.
certain comedians, like just based on the type of humor they have, I'm like, oh, I could see you being a dick.
I'd be bummed if he was a Me Too. He'd be be one of the people I'd be like pretty heartbroken about.
I'd be like, I need some moment of privacy.
Yeah, I'd need to process it in private. Yeah,
please respect give me some space.
Me and Connie, give us a hotel room for the weekend to just sob just, in.
If you could just send Mylar balloons to me right now, I would really appreciate.
Yeah, it is like a weirdly happy movie for like it being about a guy who ate all of his friends.
Oh yeah, the thing is they take these really dark subject matter, but they make it very gleeful.
Yeah, it also is the beginning of their comedic roots in just making fun of how happy Mormons are, like which is like something they did a lot in South Park and Book of Mormon, and it like is a very funny comedic take that like they are like one of the few people that like even do like art about Mormons.
Yeah,
like, I don't think I would have even known about Mormons if it wasn't for Trey Parker.
Definitely not Scientology.
Yeah, they do like have like interesting. They talk how they talk about religion is always like. It's not necessarily anti-religion. It's just like, this is...
Very matter of fact.
Yeah, like...
They're also very good about... they do satire very well in that they're able to discuss some things, but also imitate other things so well.
Yeah.
Like, they clearly... This is a musical, but it's also done very well.
Yeah.
Like, they did their homework. It's very rare, I feel like, to find a very well executed satire.
Yeah, like I would so much rather. Okay, so the production value is like low. Like they didn't spend a lot of money on making it look pretty. Like it, I think it's shot on video.
The colors.
Maybe it's
are
not
great.
On film, but it's like cheap. Yeah. And like, I would take like a visually and a kind of cheesy costume and effect movie that's like super super well written, has like really good songs, like well like performed. I would take that over like the flip side, like
like the
like if you had
all the songs are very solid.
It's like people have put it up as a stage show. Like, have you ever watched YouTube clips of, like, high schools doing it or colleges doing it? Like,
that'd be amazing.
There's a ton on YouTube of, like, and I've watched, like, some of them. And, like, there's, like, schools that will put on Cannibal the Musical. I recommend that as a YouTube deep dive if you're, like, into this movie. Like, go see, like, how it looks
That's
on stage. Because it is, like, one of my dreams as, like, a high school, like, drama kid was, like, I'm going to direct, like, a stage version of Cannibal the Musical. Like that was like my theater kid aspiration. And then other people did it that weren't.
I mean, we still can.
Connie, let's do it.
I mean, I can't sing for shit, but I will find people that can.
I'll sing every part from backstage and everyone can mouth the words.
It's so funny that you don't like being on stage, but you love singing.
I think I like being on stage now. I've been performing more this year, and it's been...
That's true. You have been.
It's been... I think I am getting over my stage anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're listening to this, put me on a stage. I won't disappoint.
She is a writer, but she is getting used to being on stage.
I'm a star now.
So we move on to the next song. The first slow song, When I Was on Top of You.
Ugh, I love this song. It is the most gorgeous ballad, and it's about a guy riding a horse.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good. I think this is my favorite song in the whole show. Like, I think it's comedically brilliant.
Yeah.
It's like a play on words. It's like, when I was on top of you, like, mm-hmm. you think it's like a song about a guy being on top of a
mm-hmm.
lady,
mm-hmm.
but it's about him riding his horse. It's
yeah.
great.
Yeah.
And it's gorgeous. It's a beautiful song.
Mm-hmm.
I could cry thinking about it right now.
They really, all genres of song, they just nail it.
I really do think Trey is a musical genius. Mm-hmm. Like, he can just whip out like a fucking like 80s like soft ballad, like rock ballad. Like, mm-hmm. That's what that song is, right? Like, mm-hmm. it's like, I'll pull her hair, she'd say to stop, and when she looked behind her, I'd always be there. And now I don't know why, but she's gone, and all I can do is try to carry on. Your eyes, your smile made my little life worthwhile. Yeah, the sky was a lot more blue when I was on top of you.
Talking about a horse.
You can edit all of these songs out if you want.
No, no, no. If anything, we might just leave the songs in and edit all the interview. No context, no nothing.
Honestly, what if I put out an album of Cannibal the Musical covers?
That actually sounds pretty dope. We know musicians.
Okay, I'm down.
I feel like this
an Indie Darling spinoff podcast is just a podcast where I'm singing Cannibal.
We pitched so many things during this podcast so far.
I'm ready.
Okay, now here comes for a crazy part. Native Americans that are God. Japanese.
This is so weird. It is one of the weirdest scenes of the whole movie, and like, I still don't get it.
Uh-huh.
But I know it's funny, but it's weird.
Yeah, it's very okay. So the characters are, they run into a tribe of Japanese people,
and they're like, we're Indians, like, yeah, like, look, we have teepees.
Yeah.
Like, but they're clearly Japanese and they're speaking Japanese.
Yeah, they speak Japanese or broken English.
Yeah. With like a thick Japanese accent.
I think the name of the tribe is Ninjaru, which is the Japanese word for Japanese people.
Yeah, like, I can't tell if it's racist or like just like non sequitur or like...
Well, the guy that plays the chief is a guy from Colorado who owned a Japanese restaurant.
Okay.
He was also in Orgasmo, and it got them like... a year's supply of free food.
Oh, so he was like, put me in the movie. Mm-hmm. And okay, I think I remember that now.
Yeah.
Okay, that I think makes it very funny.
Yeah.
Like, they were like, okay, we have to find a part for this guy. Like, uh-huh. let's just have this weird scene where they're obviously Japanese.
Also, Trey Parker really, really just likes Japanese culture. Like, he majored in music and a second major in film theory and just Japanese.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I'm just like, all right.
Okay.
Okay.
Do it.
You do you.
You do you, Trey. I mean, that scene is so funny. The teepees do have Japanese flags on them.
Mm-hmm.
And like, the joke is they're not Native Americans.
Yeah.
They're Japanese. But yeah. Like, it's never fully called out.
Yeah. They're like, I mean, they're speaking a different language. And
it's still maybe a better representation of Native Americans than The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which like came out this past year. So I'll give it credit for that.
Oh, I did see that.
Yeah, there's like a weird scene where they're like, the Native Americans are like just like yelping, scalping like savages. And it's like, oh, like, I thought we weren't like doing that anymore.
That movie's weird.
I know.
That movie's weird.
The movie was good. But then at that point, I was like, oh, like, fuck. Okay. Shit.
Oh, so the
but also, who am I to say what's offensive?
You weren't there, Kate.
I'm not the police of what's offensive to Native people. I will admit I am white, and I'm not even.
Kate is very white.
I'm not even a little bit Native American. So,
well, it's very cool of you to admit that.
It's really brave of me to admit
that
I'm
you're
white.
Very white.
I'm very white. I'm very white.
That's okay. Well, that's just me saying it, but
I mean, you don't have to say that. You don't have to say that.
Okay, so moving on, they find out from the Japanese tribe that the trappers had gone through that tribe too,
and they're like staying with them or mm-hmm. something.
Oh no, but the trappers, they also. Oh yeah, so they run into the trappers, and then you get the trapper song,
and that's dubbed over, right, by Trey and Matt.
I don't know.
This song is so weird. I think it is because it's like such a different voice from their speaking voices. So true. I feel like it's Trey just like doing the song.
Also, the person playing the lead trapper was also the DP.
He was hot.
Right?
He was hot.
I remember thinking one? Like, yeah, because when they said that in the commentary, I was like, well, he's like, you had a hot DP.
Yeah, he was hot. Honestly, Trey was like super bangable during this movie too.
He looks like he's a baby.
Yeah, he looks so young.
Like so like no shit, he's young, but like I'm like, you look so fucking like you just started
and he's
puberty.
Like cute. He's like cute.
Oh, no, he I always thought he was cute, but he looks like legit handsome in this.
I kind of also think he's attractive still as like a
oh
kind
yeah
of
no
receding hairline.
I think
like,
they both look great.
Soft bodied like gym shorts wearing dad. Like he's still hot. He can still get it.
Have you seen Matt Stone recently?
Oh, Matt Stone is like a stone cold fox.
Oh yeah.
What stone cold fox? I've actually always wanted to. I've always been more attracted to Matt Stone than Trey Parker. He's just more my like type aesthetically.
Mm. Yeah, I imagine. Stone being more approachable.
See, he kind of has a mean face though. Trey has nice face.
Really?
Do you think? Matt kind of has more of like a resting bitch face.
I'd have to look at their faces again.
I wonder what their dynamic is because it seems like Trey does a lot of the heavy lifting. And I want to know, like,
I actually watched an interview. I watched a lot of interviews with him, and they were saying how, like, okay, so Trey obviously does a lot of the heavy lifting.
Yeah,
but
he is the music guy.
In terms of their business dealings, Matt's really good at communicating, like, oh, this doesn't work for us, or this does work for us, or we demand
like being
this.
That go-between.
Yeah, like he's very good at saying this. I need this, and whereas. Trey won't necessarily communicate that.
He's like more of a pleaser or something.
Yeah, like because there's they show a clip of them in an interview and Matt being like, see these mics that we have right now, this is, we're not gonna be able to use these at all. And
he's a little diva,
like no, not being a diva, but just being like, it's gonna be weird for us to have these,
being assertive.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Matt. So Matt's really good
at being
assertive.
I need
a
Matt Stone.
Yeah, and you need someone like that if you're, because I mean at the end of the day it's a business.
Yeah. And they're so fucking successful. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you can't really even think of another like duo like that that has just like, I mean, their show's been on the air for so long and they've been running it that whole time. Mm-hmm. Like The Simpsons has gone through like six different showrunners. Like, obviously it's had a longer run than South Park, but like what show has like maintained that creative control for that long and like had that many like successful merchandising deals and like blah 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 blah, like a movie, like,
and also like, I mean, if they wanted to do stuff separately, I'm sure they could have.
I just think it won't. Yeah, I think they're bound together now.
Mm-hmm. Like,
seems like they have a good working relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they have. I'm so curious as to how those two work. But
I'd love to just
be a fly on the wall.
Yeah. But again, like, it could also be a nightmare. I feel like I've heard like bad stories.
I feel like
from
I've
South
heard stuff
Park.
Too.
Like,
I was reading an interview.
Maybe
in
like
Rolling Stone.
They were weird about women too. Like, they're like barely had any women writers for like a long time.
Ugh,
like,
I could see that.
Like, I could see that for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And this movie is super, like, not Bechdel test passing.
Oh, no, this,
like,
this is...
has one female character, and it's, like, the reporter who's, like, reporting on the story.
Who falls in love with him.
She falls in love with him, and her, and he's obviously directing her.
Mm-hmm.
And the way he's directed this character is just, like, it's like he just said, be super horny the whole time. And I'm, like, I don't know if that's, like, I don't know if she, I don't know if it's, I don't know if the actress is necessarily to blame for, like, that role being so weird and bad, but
well, she does. Those two did date for like 8 years.
She and Trey,
yeah,
in real life.
Yeah,
it's their dynamic is super weird in the movie. Like, I still don't get it. It's like the one part of the movie that doesn't like hit for me is like
that, I can see that
the reporter and Trey. Like, I don't think she's bad. I just think like
her character doesn't make the most sense.
Her character's just horny for him the whole movie, and it like doesn't make any sense. And like. Mm-hmm. I think that's more of a directing thing.
There's a Trapper song, and
yo ho, yo ho, yo ho.
They argue about who's singing in the wrong key, but then it ends with the Trapper yelling, "Now get out of my personal space."
So funny.
Apparently, according to the DVD commentary, there is a long story behind that line.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
I don't know, but they didn't say what it was, but they're just like...
It's like an inside joke?
Yeah, but I remember just laughing at that line because it's so funny and specific.
It's random.
And it's so...
To have I wonder if it's like a weird coded thing. Like, do you remember... Do you ever watch the basketball commentary?
No.
With Trey and Matt? They do... It's really good, and they have this like... They reveal this thing in the commentary where they say the word derp every time they think a line they're saying isn't funny. Because they didn't write the script.
Yeah.
They didn't write the script for basketball, but they did like change a bunch of the lines. But when there was a line they couldn't change, they would say derp after it.
Oh, man.
Like, they do weird stuff. Like, they have weird codes and things. Like,
oh, God.
I wonder if that's part of it.
No. Oh, this sounded like
a weird inside joke.
Yeah. It was like...
Weird.
Yeah, there's some long story behind that line, but
personal space.
Now get out of my personal space. He yells that at the miners.
Weird.
And they cut back to the courtroom scene. The judge is played by Trey Parker's dad.
Wait, really?
Yeah. If you look
That's
at it
cute.
Now, yeah. If you look at it now, he looks a lot the way Trey looks now.
Wow. I wish I knew that.
Yeah.
I look at it.
Yeah. I was looking for that because I didn't notice that. I didn't. Read that until after I saw it. And then the reporter has her own song, Safe as an Island. I'm not sure what the point of this song was.
I know, it's so weird. Everything she does in this movie like doesn't make sense and like isn't good. They like kind of fucked her over or something.
I wonder if this song was just supposed to provide her with a sense of agency.
Yeah.
Because she's starting to get infatuated with Packer.
Yeah.
So they're going through the Rocky Mountains and they were advised not to by the Japanese Indians because they say
the
that
Japanese Indians
that a storm is coming, but they're trying to follow the trappers. Because
Packer's trying to find his horse.
Yeah, Packer thinks that the trappers have his horse, so he's trying to follow them when they're not supposed to be following the trappers. And so they're going to the Rocky Mountains as a huge storm is coming, and then it's when they also, this story also is mapping over the Odyssey.
Oh, like
Homer's the Odyssey.
Like Homer's?
Yeah, because they run into a Cyclops.
Oh, fuck. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And,
but I'm also not,
because there's a part within the movie where you see someone just reading the Odyssey.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Damn.
But, yeah, so they run into someone that's a Cyclops, and it's this huge guy who has an eye that just squirts pus. Do you not remember this part?
I don't remember this part.
Oh,
this
must
have been when I was like in the bathroom.
Oh.
Because I just left it playing.
Okay, so they're like starving and they see some sheep. But the thing is, the sheep belong to the Cyclops. And the Cyclops...
That's funny.
He chases them. And it's just like this weird, gross scene.
I missed it in this rewatch.
It's very strange.
I don't know how I could forget that.
Yeah. And then comes to this song that Swan sings, Let's Build a Snowman.
Let's Build a Snowman. Such a good song.
It's a weirdly great song.
It's so good. It's like, let's build a snowman. We'll make him my best friend. We can make him tall, or we can make him not so tall. Snowman.
I just think it's so funny that instead of rhyming small, they say not so tall.
Like, it is like, that's intentional. Like, they're just fucking funny.
We can name him Dave, or we can name him Simon.
Beowulf.
Yeah, Beowulf is in there. I just thought.
They're just like weird. Like, I don't know. Listen. Is non sequitur humor like good? I don't know. But when they do it, like it is.
I'm a sucker for non sequitur humor.
I do think it is. Like I am too. And like it, there is like a way to do it well. And I think this song is like an example of that. Mm-hmm. Like this is just like a cracked out guy.
Yeah.
Singing about making a snowman. He tap dances.
Oh, yeah. He tapped it. Well, what's funny is because he's doing this in the snow and his feet are buried in snow and he tap dances like and. It's insane that he's tap dancing on snow. And like everyone around him is exhausted and looking at him exhausted. And someone, his song gets cut off because someone starts hacking up his snowman.
Yeah.
And he does this. He starts. Oh, they do a reprise of that song, All I'm Asking For, but yeah. a grim version.
Yeah.
And it's like, all they just like, oh, I just want to be. Just some food, just some warmth. That's all I'm asking yeah. for. They sing it like that, which I thought was really funny.
Yeah, I did too.
Oh, and then, okay, so Swan starts singing that song again, but this time the guy who's supposed to be a priest
mm-hmm.
flips out and kills him.
Shoots him in the head.
Yeah, he shoots him in the head. And what's crazy is that even when he's dead, he has a huge grin on his face.
It's so funny. And it's also gory. Like, this is the scene where they, like, then they, like, to hack up his body and eat him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's great. It's, like, that classic, like, cheap 90s horror gore.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful. Bones are sticking out.
Oh, yeah. You see someone holding a foot as they're just eating
it. Yeah, it's like a foot with a bone sticking out. Like, a classic, you know, that classic gore.
Mm-hmm. And then so. Okay.
Halloween store gore.
Yeah, it's very, yes, very, it works, though.
It works. It works. It's charming.
And, okay, so Packer leaves the group to, because they start yelling at him because they're trying to decide who they should eat for next. And Packer's like, I'm going to go ahead and see if there's a town up ahead. He comes back and he sees that that guy, I believe his name is Miller, he killed everyone else
mm-hmm.
and he says that they attacked him, but he's like manic at this point.
Yeah,
so Packer kills him in self-defense, and this is a crazy scene because this guy will not die.
Yeah, it's like, really funny.
Yeah, like he shoots him, stabs him, like I think in the chest, in the eye, and then in the other eye, and the guy just keeps coming to life.
It's great.
Like I think at one point, like Packer doesn't even get scared. He just starts looking around and throws a snowball at him.
And that's comedy.
It's so fucking funny because it comes back later, way 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 later, when you see them at his trial, and they decide to hang Packer, and they sing this song called "Hang the Bastard," where the whole town joins in.
It's so good.
And does. Groups of choreography, like the fact that they pull this off, because you see chunks of different citizens singing this song, and yeah. I'm just so. Oh, fun fact: he had his ex girlfriend come because she was a choreographer. He had her choreograph that scene.
Leanne?
Yeah.
Wow, I did not know that. That's so vicious.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and even he was just like, I don't know why I did it.
Oh, God. I gotta re-listen to this commentary. It's on YouTube.
Yeah.
The director's commentary.
Mm-hmm. And, okay, but right as he's about to be hung, the reporter Polly comes and saves him because they find out that when he did commit these crimes, Colorado wasn't a state yet, so he can't be tried for his crime.
And he's set free.
Yeah.
And then the Indian, the Japanese Indian chief, aka the restaurant owner, that
yeah.
comes rushes in and chops off the executioner's head, right? Or the trapper's head?
I think, oh yeah, the trapper, because the trapper tries to hang him anyway.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then the Indian chief comes out and kills him. And it's, they do a reprise of that song, Shpadoinkle Day. But right as they're about to kiss, that one guy comes back screaming.
Oh, yeah, and he has like knives in his eyes.
Yeah. And then they freeze on that. It's and so that's good. How they choose to end the movie.
And the movie ends and they turn that into a, like a nice watercolor.
Yes. It's painting. Wonderful.
It's so good.
It's so what wonderful. What a way
to end the movie.
Okay, so. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's also like a dream ballet sequence.
Oh yeah, there's like he so there. Oh, so we didn't even talk about. Okay, so there's a scene where, like, before they get like kind of early in the movie where they're they've lost the horse, and Trey Parker's or Alfred Packer goes to sleep and has a dream where he's doing ballet.
Yeah,
and like
apparently they did that because there's a dream ballet sequence in Oklahoma.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And he's like, the trapper is also doing ballet and like stealing his girl.
Yeah. But you see, what's funny is for this that you see that he clearly has a body double.
Yeah. And it's obvious. Ballet. Like everything like that in this movie is just like plainly obvious.
A conscious decision.
Yeah. Like a conscious choice to be like, we're not even going to pretend. Like, and that's funny.
I thought this movie. He made this while he was still in college.
Yeah, like, that's amazing. That's so impressive.
So well done.
It's so well done. Like, it's like, yeah, like, I could see how, like, people would watch this and be like, that's a shitty movie. But, like, it may look like a college film even, but, like, everything about it, like, it's such a good piece. Like, it's really, really good.
The songs are good.
The songs are like original music that's like really catchy and good. Like the songs do get stuck in your head. Like I mean,
and he made South Park 4 years later.
Yeah, like that's how quick this guy's career moved. I want to go back because I forgot to talk about two things in the movie.
What
movie that I want to talk about? Okay, we have to talk about Fudge Packer.
Oh.
Do you remember Fudge Packer? Okay, so this was like a scene early in the movie where like they go to a general store and Matt Stone's character buys fudge and then they wait like to like halfway through the movie to like pay it off where he goes like Fudge Packer and they like made it so that they had to say Fudge Packer like, you know.
A
intentionally
bunch of times. Yeah.
It is different. I don't know, that was like something I always remembered about that movie. And then another thing was that the part where Matt Stone takes his hat off and his hair puts back, which is literally Kyle from South Park.
They have Matt Stone has this huge Jufro
and it's like bright red
because the thing is he's wearing a hat throughout the entire movie just like Kyle from South Park.
Yeah.
And then he takes it off and they have this cartoonish sound effect. And he has this giant orange fro.
Just like Kyle from South Park.
Which happens later in South Park. Because I think at the time, Matt Stone just did have a huge fro.
That's so funny.
Yeah, I remember he had a fro back then.
Yeah, like, he has, like, really curly hair. Right? He keeps it really short now, but I think, yeah.
He has a Jufro.
Like, he does in, like, basketball and stuff have, like, big curly hair, right?
I think in the 90s, he had the Jufro thing.
Yeah. And honestly, like back in high school, that was my type. I was like, I want like a Jewish guy with just the curliest, biggest like fro.
I hope Jack doesn't hear this.
Jack doesn't care. Oh. Also, he doesn't listen to podcasts.
That's so funny.
Even though he has a podcast. He's like not a...
Well, his is more of like a...
His is like a politics podcast.
Do you remember Trey Parker in the 90s? He had that blonde hair.
Yeah.
I thought that was so hot.
He's hot. Like, they're both super fucking hot. Mm-hmm. They're both super fucking hot and talented. And I think their talent does make them hotter. They're both married and have kids now.
I think they are.
I don't know if Matt Stone's like, or I don't know if Trey is like married, but I know he has like
I know he's
a
been
wife
married.
Type person.
Yeah.
I mean, they're the South Parkers, so I'm assuming maybe they're married because then she wouldn't be a Parker.
Mm-hmm. They definitely have a kid.
They have a cute little blonde girl.
Named Betty.
I think that his wife's name is Boogie Parker. Her name is Boogie, yeah, and she used to be a stripper.
Really?
I think that's how they met.
Because in the DVD commentary, what's so funny is as they're wrapping it up, because they're drinking scotch throughout it.
Yeah, they're like getting drunker and drunker, right?
Yeah, and he's like, let's go to a titty bar.
Yes. I think that they love strippers. Like, and I support that. I love strippers. Like,
I've never been to a titty bar.
Oh my God, Connie, we have to go. Are you fucking kidding me? Wait, you've been to like, they can't show it at Jumbo's, right?
I've been to Jumbo's.
Right? Okay, but we have to go to like Cheetah's or like.
Cheetah's is very nearby.
Yeah. Yeah, we have to go to a titty bar. We have
I'm game.
We have to try and mat it up. Yeah, I think he like fell in love with like literally like a stripper from a strip club, and like they have a beautiful baby, and like
sometimes it works.
I think sometimes it works. Like, I think all the time it works. I think strippers are strippers are amazing. Did you know that strippers are like in the middle of like unionizing right now? They like are doing like stripper strikes and like stuff like that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
We should wait till after the stripper strike to go to a titty bar.
Yeah, well, we'll only go to one that like union that supports strippers workers' rights.
Yeah, I want to see their stripper cards when we go in.
Their stripper, they should unionize. Sex work is regulation is super important.
Mm-hmm.
And like,
I agree.
Hell yeah, I support them. And also I love titties.
Titties are beautiful.
They're wonderful things.
Well, this was delightful.
This was delightful. Thank you for having me.
What movies would you recommend based on this?
Okay, this isn't like a feature film or anything, but between this movie and South Park, Trey Parker and Matt Stone made, well, they went mini viral. They went viral before the internet where it was like they made a Christmas card, an animated Christmas card of South Park, but it was like a 10-minute sketch on VHS.
Yeah.
They like sent it to like their friend who worked at Fox or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then that guy copied the VHS and like sent it to his friends because they were like, see this funny video. These guys I know made it.
Uh-huh.
And then like soon everyone was copying that VHS and like passing it around Hollywood, and they like went viral. And that's how South Park got picked up.
Uh-huh.
But during that time when they were like they had the viral VHS, but they hadn't sold South Park yet. They got hired by Universal Studios to make a video called Your Studio and You, which is like an intra corporate, like just like in company video about Universal. And it's like on YouTube. It's very, very funny. And I think that would be my recommendation.
Apparently they didn't like it.
Yeah. Wait, Universal didn't?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a joke. It's like making fun of them. Yeah. Like, it's really good.
Apparently, there was like a misunderstanding or whatever on what they were supposed to be making.
I don't think it was a misunderstanding. I think Trey Parker were just like, we'll take the money and not do what they say, which is like a very them thing to do.
Yeah, see, like, it's hard because there's that combination of like...
They just like believed in themselves. They had this like confidence about what they
like,
were doing.
Like, fuck you, we're gonna do what we want.
They were like, fuck you, we will not compromise, like ever.
Mm-hmm.
And like they got away with it. I don't know, like if like most people can do that.
Well, the thing is like not never compromising, but being in the right all the time.
Yeah,
that's also rare. So, but it's just for me, I get wary of what that does to someone's ego after a while.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, they could be nightmares to be around.
Yeah, what if they're
and
like,
I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Yeah, like, they could both be like little Dan Harmons.
I mean, yeah. I mean, you know, I think working on a TV show, you shouldn't be working crazy hours.
Mm-hmm.
I get why South Park does it, because they just don't want to work most of the year.
Mm-hmm.
But
well, also that's how they keep their material so
topical.
Yeah,
I do think it comes to like when you hear about writers rooms working till 2 a.m. and stuff, I'm like, maybe the boss is kind of a fucking asshole. Like, no one needs to be working that long. But I kind of get it with South Park. But also, I wouldn't be surprised if they were abusive bosses.
Mm-hmm. That worries.
And feel free to tell me in secret if they are.
If I
want the gossip.
they're never gonna listen to this. So who cares?
I don't care. Yeah.
They'll
never hire me to write for South Park. So.
Oh no, I've sadly accepted that I'll probably never end up working on that show.
Yeah, I don't even know how much longer it'll last.
I don't think even they want to do it anymore.
I don't think they want to do it anymore. I think it's hard to do like topical comedy now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the world sucks. Like
the world sucks. Everyone's doing it. It's exhausting.
Yeah, like I wouldn't be surprised if they were done soon, like very soon.
I think they just want to do movies.
I think they should do another musical or something.
Yeah.
They should do another musical movie. Oh, yeah. Like, other recommendations I would have are South Park the Musical, obviously, because it's the same guy writing the songs. These songs are just so good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and I think the songs are even better in South Park the Musical. Like, they're legit, like, songs
it got nominated for an Oscar.
It got nominated for an Oscar, like, Robin Williams sang it at the Academy Awards. He sang Blame Canada.
Yeah.
And they went dressed as J-Lo and Gwyneth Paltrow.
That was so funny.
On acid. Yeah. They dropped acid and went to the Oscars in drag.
Yeah.
Like.
That's terrifying.
Kind of drag, not full drag. Like they just wore the dresses, right?
Yeah. They were wearing the J-Lo dresses and the Gwyneth Paltrow dresses.
From like the year before or something. Yeah. Iconic.
Yeah, it is.
They did not give a fuck.
Yeah, zero shits given.
And did it win the Oscar?
No, it didn't.
It lost.
I think it lost to.
What did it lose to?
Was it Will Smith? Something. I forget. It was something probably Disney. No. I think it was that the year 8 Mile came out.
God, no. I don't know.
No. I don't think it was. Okay. Kate.
Yes.
Is there anything you'd like to plug?
I would like to plug my morning show. I have a show on Twitch. I do a live show 7 to 9 a.m. Pacific time every weekday with my husband, Jack. It's called Jack AM. That's twitch.tv/JACKAM. And then just my Twitter is at Kate Raft, CAITRAFT. And watch my PowerPoint presentation. It's my pinned tweet. That's how you can find it. Link in bio, baby. I made a PowerPoint called Bradley Cooper's A Star Is Born takes place in an alternate reality where 9/11 never happened. It's ironclad. If you've seen the movie, watch my PowerPoint, rewatch the movie. It'll change your mind.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
If you liked what you heard, you can rate and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, on iTunes, on Campfire Media. You could also check us out on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook under Indie Darlings Podcast. Thank you and good night.
I'm Shelley Slocum, and I'm doing a podcast about the most important relationship in your life. If you're a parent or you have parents, this podcast is about you. Each episode, I interview a mother or a father, and I get to hear about their transition in taking care of another human being. I also bring on an expert so we can tackle a topic in modern day parenthood to kind of dig at the deeper truths that are out there. Because, you know, I don't know, maybe we'll actually figure out what it means to love another person. That would be amazing, right? The Story of Mom. Find it on Campfire Media.
Campfire.